Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. What is the most popular message being taught in the so-called Christian churches today? Whether you're listening to the radio, whether you're listening to TV, or whether you're listening in church services, what is the most popular message being preached today? Isn't it the message of health and wealth? People talk about, if you're a Christian, you deserve to be healthy. You deserve to be wealthy. God wants to bless you. That's your right. That's a covenant that God has made with you to bless you here and now, to make you prosperous here and now, to make you healthy here and now. Well, my friends, if it's all about the here and now, then why do you need the hereafter? This is a damnable gospel, a false gospel. Now, I don't want anybody to be damned, but God says that those who preach a false gospel should be accursed. Because the gospel, this false gospel that they are teaching, is an accursed thing because it will lead people to curses, not to health and wealth, but to curses. You know, it's interesting that the church that has the most criticism out of the seven churches in Asia to which Jesus Christ wrote, out of the seven churches, the one that has the most criticism is the church at Laodicea. Because the church at Laodicea had this attitude that they were rich and increased with goods, that they had need of nothing. And yet Jesus says, don't you know that you are wretched, that you're miserable, poor, blind, and naked? And I counsel to you to buy of me gold that's tried in the fire of tribulation, and then you'll be rich. So this health and wealth gospel, which is characterized in the letter to the church at Laodicea, that's this church that had the most criticism. And yet, on the contrary, if we look at the church in Smyrna, it says of the church in Smyrna, this is in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, it says of the church in Smyrna, I know your works, and I know your tribulation and poverty, but yet you are rich. Now here's a church at Smyrna that was in tribulation. They had many trials. They were in poverty. And yet God says that they were truly rich in His eyes. And in fact, the church at Smyrna, along with the church in Philadelphia, are the only two out of the seven churches that don't have any criticism. So here we have the Laodicean church that has the most criticism because they're teaching the health and wealth gospel, the name it and claim it gospel, what I call the blab it and grab it gospel, because it's all about getting what you want in the here and now. That is a damnable gospel. That is the church that has the most criticism. And yet the church in Smyrna that is in tribulation and poverty has no criticism because they were truly rich. Now what made them truly rich? How can you be in poverty and still be truly rich? Well, let's focus on these three words, tribulation, poverty, and rich. The English word tribulation comes from the Greek word thlipsis, which is T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S, thlipsis, meaning to be crushed beneath a weight. So the pressure of events was heavy on the church at Smyrna. And then let's look at the word poverty. The English word poverty comes from the Greek word potichia, which is P-T-O-C-H-E-I-A, potichia, meaning to be without food and shelter. It is important to note that God did not inspire John to use the Greek word penia, P-E-N-I-A. He did not inspire John to use that Greek word, which means having nothing more than the necessities of life. Think of it this way. The Greek word penia, which is a Greek word for poverty, that describes the state of a man who has nothing superfluous. So besides his basic needs, he doesn't have anything else in addition to that. Whereas the word that God inspired John to use for poverty, podocheia, this describes the state of a man who has nothing at all. That means that this person really doesn't even have the basics. They have to scrounge around for things to eat. They have to run from here and there to have shelter. And so this is real poverty, and this is what the church in Smyrna was facing, was that type of poverty. And these were true Christians that did not receive criticism from God. Why? Because in God's eyes, they were truly rich. Now let's look at this word rich. The English word rich comes from the Greek word plousios, plousios, P-L-O-U-S-I-O-S, plousios, meaning to be wealthy. But how can this be that Yeshua says the church at Smyrna is both poor and wealthy? Well, other biblical texts will give us the answer. And let's listen to James chapter 2 and verse 5. This is what the Apostle James says in chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, my brothers, didn't God choose those who are poor in this world to be rich in faith? That's the key, my friends, rich in faith. If we place our faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the one who saves us, the Messiah, the one who is anointed to be our Savior, that's what Jesus the Christ means, Yeshua HaMashiach. It means the one who is anointed to save us. Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, if we put our faith in Him, then we can be rich, because two things will happen. We'll be rich in terms of we will have peace, abundant peace, despite the tribulation, despite the prosperity. We will have peace of mind. We will also have joy. Doesn't the Bible say, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith will make you perfect? And so we know that God allows us to go through trials so that we can be perfected. God wants to know, do we love Him no matter what, or do we just love Him because He gives us everything that we want? If we just serve God because we think that we can pray and we can get our blessings now, that our ship's going to come in now, that we deserve health and wealth now, if we believe that and then something happens where we turn out sick, or where a storm comes and it blows away our house, we're going to turn around and say, God, you must have forsaken us. God, you hate us. This isn't what I signed up for. God, I'm leaving you. I can do bad on my own, God. I don't need you to do bad. I need you to do good for me. Where are you, God? We're reducing God to nothing but a big fat genie that we rub on the belly, and we give Him three commands, three wishes. God, you better bless us. Well, that's not the kind of God we serve. We need to serve God no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. Now, why is this so important? The reason why is because Satan, the devil, who was Lucifer before he became Satan, the adversary of God, he had health and wealth. He had great riches, and he turned against God. So the health and wealth is not what is going to cause us to be faithful. It is believing that God always does what's right. He always knows what's right. He will always do what is right, even if it doesn't seem that it's right to us. Satan felt like it wasn't right that he didn't have more power. He probably felt envious that when God created Adam and Eve in His image, in His likeness, to become children of God, literally born into the family of God, eventually as spirit-composed, eternal children of God, Satan, knowing that that was not his destiny, became envious of us, of our incredible human potential, and thought that it was not fair that he was not promised to be the children of God, one of the children of God, in the same way that we are destined to become. And so he thought it was unfair. He had all the health and the wealth that he could ever imagine, and yet he wasn't satisfied with that. He thought that God was unfair, that God was keeping something back from him. And isn't that what he introduced to Adam and Eve? He said, listen, didn't God say that you could have of every tree? of the Garden of Eden? Well, if God is trying to hold back from you this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then God must be an unfair God. Go ahead and take it at tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're not going to die. It's a tree that's going to make you wise. You can be like God, determining for yourself what's right and wrong. Why are you letting God push you around? See, that's the kind of attitude that Satan has. And we can have that same attitude, even if we have health and wealth. That's not going to be what gives us total peace and total joy. What gives us total peace and total joy is knowing that even when we have lost our health and our wealth, that God still loves us, that God still is doing what is right by us, that He knows what's best for us, and that we do have an eternal destiny to be with God forever. And at that time, we will have health and wealth, because we will have spirit-composed, eternal bodies, and all of the earth, in fact, all of the universe will be ours. But first, we have to prove that we love God and will obey God no matter what. So if we are rich in faith in that way, then God says that we are truly rich indeed, and we will be heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him. That's in James chapter 2 and verse 5. So in the New Testament, poverty and Christianity are closely connected. The poverty of the Christians is often due, and at the church in Smyrna was definitely due, to two things. First, it was due to the fact that most of them belong to the lower classes of society. And that's the same that's true today. God says that He calls the weak of the world, He calls the foolish of the world to confound the mighty, to confound the wise. That's the type of people God deals with, not the real wealthy and powerful in general. So the gulf between the top and the bottom of the social scale was very wide at that time. And secondly, a lot of the poverty in the church at Smyrna was due to the fact that they suffered from the destruction of their possessions. There were times when hostile mobs would suddenly attack the Christians and wreck their homes. So life was not easy for a Christian in Smyrna. And I'm telling you, my friends, on the authority of the Word of God, that that is going to be true of true Christians in the very near future, that we will have our homes suddenly wrecked, that we will lose, in many cases, our health and whatever wealth we do have. So we better be rich in faith. And so God was very pleased with the church in Smyrna because they were rich in faith. Now, as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, the church in Smyrna was already in tribulation and poverty, but things were about to get much worse. And the question is, who was about to bring this crushing tribulation upon them? It's a very interesting question, and I hope you'll tune in to the next program to find out the answer. Thanks for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.